you can't apply the same statistical sort of bar in the playoffs. Those are the best teams.
Right.
Everybody's numbers go down. You know what Patrick Mahomes' numbers were in the Super Bowl? Mr. Fancy Greatest of All Time, Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes, can't be beat guy?
Yeah, 34 of 46, quarterback rating of 99.3.
Okay.
So better than Brock. He threw two touchdowns and a pick. Brock threw one touchdown. Juwan Jennings threw as many touchdowns as Brock Purdy. I mean, what are we doing here, Mark?
No, but what are we doing?
Juwan Jennings was the best quarterback for the Niners in the Super Bowl. Hashtag quarterback rating.
That's a good take.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
No, what are we doing here? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's people are going to hold that against Brock Purdy
in the same way
they hold it against everybody. And you hold it against Joe Burrow. You hold it against Jared Goff. You hold it against any quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl and not won it. And that's just going to be something that he hopefully can get over. They've been close, like Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. These are quarterbacks who still get knocked in some circles for never having won the big game. Jim Kelly went to four in a row and was unable to get it done. Fran Tarkenton went to three and never won one.
But we move the goalposts on. We change, like, the big game. That comes from a big game. And then we change it to the big game. I want to see Brock do XYZ in big games. Well, okay, here's the ball. You're losing by four against Green Bay. Go get a touchdown. You do. Next week, okay, you're down by 17 points at halftime at home against Detroit. Go do something. You do. Then you go to the Super Bowl. You play a solid, not great, solid game. You go to overtime against Patrick Mahomes. You drive the ball all the way down the field in overtime. An offensive lineman goes the wrong way. You kick a field goal. Mahomes gets a touchdown. Brock can't win the big game. I find that to be a silly argument.
I don't think the goalposts are moving.
It's
like hurdles, and he's cleared every hurdle but the last one. And it's okay because it's even more like American Ninja Warrior, where you go through 10 obstacles, and the last obstacle is the one where you have to climb that rope and you have to go up 100 feet in 90 seconds.
Right.
And if you can do it, you are the Ninja Warrior. And if you can't, well, you're still really, really good at climbing and jumping and stuff, but you're not the American Ninja Warrior.
Well,
and right now, he hasn't been able to do that final climb. And he has time. He's a young player.
Sure. I mean, I hope, going back to where this conversation started, where I've got my five elite quarterbacks in the NFL, you'll notice something about four of them. They haven't won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, like, this is not, I don't need that in order to call someone elite, in my opinion. I don't need that. I think we can all see a good player, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl. And we all, obviously, for obvious reasons, we only do that to the quarterback. No one would ever, like, walk up to Trent Williams and say, you haven't won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Are you really the best left tackle? Yes, you're really the best left tackle, even though you haven't won the Super Bowl. But Burrow has been and lost. Allen hasn't even been. Lamar hasn't even been. Brock has been and lost. Patrick is Patrick. No one's arguing that, obviously.
Right. And we did this yesterday. There's five quarterbacks currently playing who have won Super Bowls, and three of them are not currently elite. Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. There are two that you could say are still elite, maybe. Matthew Stafford, the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, his team, he's got nobody around him. He still is a very good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't think anyone would put him in their top five. If anybody did an elite quarterback list or a Mike Sando tiered quarterback list, he's not a tier one guy. So four of the five guys who've won Super Bowls are not in that elite tier. And the one guy who is has won three of the last five. So does that mean Brock is no good because he hasn't done it? No, you're right. Lamar and Joe and Josh and all these other quarterbacks, they haven't done it either.
Yeah, so I don't attach that word to ring. I like, you can be elite and you have yet to win a ring. I'm with you on that,
but I don't think that you can say, well, you can say it, but I don't see it the way the goalposts have moved. I think that he's achieved every goal but the one. It's not that the goalposts have moved.
Sure.
Can he win a big game? Yeah. Can he come from behind in a big game? Yeah. Can he this? Can he that? He's done all those things. Can he be a top five in the MVP? He just was. So all these things he's done, the one thing he hasn't done is win the Super Bowl, and it's fair to not hold it against him, but it's fair to say,
to mention it, yeah. That's part of the conversation that he has to do. Absolutely. 888-957-9570. We'll hear from Brock in just about 15 minutes. Let's go back to the phones. Javier in Vacaville. Hey, Javier, what's up?
How you doing, Mr. Ruler? How you doing, Mr. Dibley?
How are you?
I just wanted your temperature on the game because I'm going to probably sound like a pessimist, but I'm just – I got defeated mindset. I don't have any other fear in any other team outside of the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes is like the Michael Jordan of football in my estimation, whether that's ignorant or not to think. I just have no faith in the 49ers, but, I mean, yo, we – oof, with no Chris McCaffrey, you know what I'm saying? And I really feel like this might also be something you guys are like, what? You know, smirk your lips at. But, man, Robert Saleh's on the street. And I'm not saying that, you know, Sorensen's a scrub. But, yo, we might be betting our season on a rookie DC when everyone's like, well, why would you want to bring him in to miss a continent? Well, we got a lot riding on the season, sir. You know, like, just giving him a call and saying, hey, I mean, would you want to come be our quality controller? Because we know what he can do. Sorensen is a rookie DC. Yeah, we're 3-3, but we've blown two of those games. And defensively, it wasn't nice. It didn't look like our defensive pedigree the last six seasons. And it's just Shanahan's been a lot on a rookie DC that hasn't proven a whole lot in this league except being an exceptional position coach, which is fine. But we got Super Bowl aspirations, gentlemen. And you got a Super Bowl defensive coordinator on the street that's looking for work, whether he wants to take the season off or not, man, it would be idiotic. I feel like I have to keep the tires on him based off we don't want to miss his continuity.
Well, here's what I think. Yeah, Javier, thanks, man. Here's what I think's going on there. To me, it's a little bit fantasy land to go there, even though I understand why people do. Yes, Robert has already stated publicly he has no interest in coaching this year. But here's – I get it. I totally get the vibe of why you'd want – to go kick the tires on Robert, and as Javier said, not make him defensive coordinator, but bring him in as part of the staff. Here's why you don't do that. It's the same reason that I was so shocked that the 49ers brought Jimmy Garoppolo back when Trey Lance was about to be the starter. And you remember that show where I was like, that's a hedge. That means that somebody doesn't like what they're seeing in Trey Lance. And everyone's like, no, it's like a free, just like backup card. And I'm like, no, because you don't do that to Trey. You don't put all your faith in someone new and then hang someone with this huge resume right on their right shoulder and go, okay, go play. And that's exactly what you would be doing to Nick Sorensen if you suddenly brought Robert Saleh in. I think there's a measure of this. Sometimes when you lay the card, you got to play the card. And that's what the Niners did. They laid the card on Nick Sorensen. You can't, after six games, go hang a massive name and presence in the room with him and be like, okay, hope no one missed tackles. You know, it's too much. So the Niners, for good or bad, you laid this card. Now you got to play this card.
Well, and you can't even really look at the card you've played until you get more than six games into it. I don't think that that's a fair measurement because there's a certain amount of newness. Even though he comes from within, the scheme is going to be slightly different. The way he calls games, the amount of blitzing he does, he's still finding his way. And he was an internal hire. This is different than when you brought in Steve Wilks from the outside last year because it was a completely different approach. Steve Wilks was not from the Shanahan defensive coaching tree, for lack of a better way to describe it. So he was an outsider coming in, and you could have made that move, I think, more readily last year with Steve Wilks than you would with a guy you promoted from within.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. This is, it's just not the time. I fully understand the vibe, the desire, the angst. I get it. Robert's awesome, but he doesn't want it, and you don't do that to Nick this quick. I don't think that's fair. Frazier in Antioch. Hi, Frazier. Thanks for calling us.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Just real quick on a couple of callers back. The assessment of the Super Bowl, I don't feel the same way as everyone else. What makes a quarterback elite and not elite? Brock played a hell of a game. Lyman, wrong move. Super Bowl, we win. It seems like Patrick's success has come against us. He's won two Super Bowls against us, and he loses both those Super Bowls. Are we still calling Patrick Mahomes elite? I don't know. It'd be the same as Lamar. He hasn't made a big game. But this is getting just absurd. These guys are getting labeled to be elite, and Brock has been leading the league in every category since he's been in the league, pretty much. This is just becoming such a annoyance when we watch our quarterback play week in, week out. We watch him get us to a championship, watch him get us to a Super Bowl, And for not unforeseen circumstances, he would have won a championship injured. Super Bowl, lineman, wrong move, we win. And it's just terrible that it's others that takes a team to win a sport when one person is playing pretty much their tail off. So just wanted to touch bases on that because it seemed like everyone is doubting his skills for some reason when he's been leading the league in numerous categories. And it's just like, what is everyone watching? Even his gameplay is above.
Frazier, thanks. That's what I tend to agree, and that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of moving the goalposts. For those of you who have joined us more recently, this is kind of what got us on this discussion, and we want you to hear it. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, listen to him talk about Brock Purdy.
Good against zone and finding those pockets and spaces, and I think the receivers adjust routes to do that. That makes it really challenging in zone. Now, one of the things you got to remember is we had, you know, last year was a little different. LJ was here, and Trent, we had him in a different spot, and so we'll see if we can do the same things. But I just think their system is built that they really can expose zone coverage, and yet I think they got enough skill that if you don't have the right man people covering their men, that can be challenging too. I mean, it's going to start up front and stop in the run, and hopefully we can get the quarterback not to be in timing like he is, because I can't find a weakness in this quarterback. I every time I put the film on, I'm more and more impressed. It's funny, I was watching, you guys will have a better idea of the year. When did we go out there and play in a regular season game? Yeah, and it was at the end of the game, and I think they had taken Garoppolo out, and it was Brock Purdy, and I had forgotten that. But he ran the two-minute drill and kind of got him down there, and then I think we picked it off at the end. But he looked pretty good then, not like he is now, but I'm really impressed with the quarterback.
I can't find a weakness in him. The more I look at the tape, the more impressed I am. I mean, that's a hell of a quote, man.
Yeah.
And that's from a great, like a truly great defensive coordinator.
Right, and a guy who, you know, has owned this team to the extent that he's beaten them a couple of times in a row in very big games. So, yeah, that's high praise from Spags. And every time I put the tape on, I can't find a weakness with this quarterback. He's good. He kills you against the zone. And last year they had to switch it up in real time and go a lot more press man. And he's good against man as well. So, that's going to be one thing to watch, especially with the Niners' offensive line being a little bit shaky in the interior. And you got Chris Jones, as we heard earlier from Greg Cosell. He'll go over the right guard. He'll go over the left guard. Not usually out by the tackle very much. And he probably won't go on Trent's side at all in this game. But Chris Jones against that interior three in pass situations, that's going to be an interesting matchup.
I don't know why this just crossed my mind, but you're sitting there talking again. We're talking about, okay, what makes a player elite, and a lot of them are like, you know, okay, well, win the bowl, and the way you said it, I like, because you're like, well, no, that's just kind of that's the last accomplishment that he needs. And but for others, it's like, no, we're holding that until he performs in the last game against Patrick Mahomes, and only then will we hand that out. Well, flip it to a different sport for a second. Let me throw some names at you, and you tell me that if we were talking NBA, if we were talking hoops, and I asked you, give me like 10 elite players, you're only going to give me people who have won a ring? You're not going to say Luka? Luka's not on your list?
Right.
Joel Embiid, he didn't make your list. Ant's not there. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We're not doing that. Like, Ja Morant, he doesn't make your list. Where else do you want to go with all this? Like, I just think that if you remove the black and white thinking, you get what Steve Spagnuolo just said. He didn't use the word because he's not going to do that. He's a coach at a press conference. But I think that's what he just told you. I think he told you that Brock Purdy is one of the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yeah, and you don't have a lot of quarterbacks where you look at the tape and you can't find a weakness. And then you look at Brock Purdy's numbers, and they're very good. He has the highest quarterback rating ever after 25 starts to a career. He's got a winning record, a winning percentage that is next to impossible to match. And so I don't know what you need to look at. Touchdown to interception ratio, which is better than Tom Brady's was at this point in Tom Brady's career. So I don't know what you have to look at. You watch the tape and you see a guy who's good at just about everything. You look at the numbers and his numbers are phenomenal in just about everything. You look at his record and his record is almost perfect. He's got 7 regular season losses in 2+ years. I don't know what you have to look at.
Let's go to Sparky in Alameda. What are you doing, Sparky? Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas? It's been a minute. Okay. Talking about a resume. Well, the kid, rookie of the year, not bad. One Super Bowl appearance. Great. But let's start talking about popularity. Popularity starts, you know, winning athlete. That's their mindset. You know what? I think I should work on this. You know what? I'm going to break somebody's record. I mean, doing this, doing that. Then is when you really start impressing people. Like a young Steph. No one's good with no one. He was in the past. He started breaking records after record, after record, after record. Then we're going to talk about being popular. The kid got a lot of future, and I'm excited to see it coming. And I'm excited to see at the end of the line, holding the trophy because he well deserves it.
Sparky, thanks so much. Yeah, and I can't refute what he's saying when it comes to Steph, but Steph is so elite at one specific, I mean, he does so many things, but there's one thing, obviously, that he's the greatest that has ever lived, and that's shooting the basketball. I don't need Brock Purdy to break records, even though you sort of insinuated that at this point, because he's not qualified for records yet.
Right.
But at this point, he has. He is the highest rated quarterback in the history of the league at this point.
After 25 starts,
right.
Yeah.
So that's that, but that doesn't count or whatever. If he's anywhere near where he is right now, 30 games from now, so give it the most of the next 2 seasons, if he is still anywhere near where he is now, he will obliterate the record for quarterback rating.
Right, right.
Obliterate.
Yeah, he'll be 4 or 5 points higher. And I do think that his Steph Curry comp was interesting because Steph, in 2013, hit the most threes ever, and the Warriors got knocked out in the playoffs. The next year, he led the league in threes, not quite the same total, and they got knocked out. But then the next year, he reset his own record, and they won the championship. So at that point, he went from, God, this guy can shoot, to now he's a champion, right, and he's the league MVP. And so all these things don't happen overnight. I'm not saying that Brock Purdy's going to be Steph Curry, but his evolution has to continue to progress where, okay, now regular season, 2 years in a row, he's been phenomenal. And then in the third year, the fourth year, whatever, then he wins a Super Bowl. Then it's like, okay, now we've got a 60-game sample and he's got a ring. Now we can start moving him up in the real echelon.
We'll hear from Brock, as elite as he is, here in like 2 minutes. But let's keep going with you, Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. I just want to talk about Purdy. Right now, he's a young stud. Of course he's elite. He's second in the league in passing this year. He gets the ball out quickly. He throws the ball right on the money. He's a young stud, elite quarterback. And for sure, he's going to be taking us beating Kansas City. We need to flatten that little runt, Patrick Mahomes. He needs to be on his butt. We're going to smash Kansas City this weekend. It's a must win, and I'll tell you why. We have not beat them. Shanahan has not beat Kansas City. And the last time we beat Kansas City happens to be many years ago, and I don't like that stat at all. But Patrick Mahomes is going down that runt for sure. And Purdy is a now, wait a minute. Purdy is a superstar. He's a young stud. You guys got to remember that. He's young. He's on his way. We went to 2 Super Bowls because of him. We didn't lose him because of him. We lost him because of defense and overtime. Third down, we kicked the field goal. We didn't go for fourth down. That's the coach's problem. That was a bad call. There's a lot of bad calls that the coach made in the Super Bowl. But Purdy is elite superstar right now. And this year, he is going to take us to the Super Bowl again. You watch. You're going to remember me telling you this. And we're going to beat Kansas City's butt.
I mean, Kurt, well, I'm going to remember every call you ever make to this station. Who are you watching the game with on Sunday, Kurt?
Well, I watched it with the family members. They had a big TV screen. I'm going to be right in front of it. And Purdy is going to beat Kansas City. And that little runt is going to be on his ass.
Thank you. Thank you.
6'2", 225. I love it. Just as good as the last time he called him a little runt.
If you don't do it again tomorrow, Kurt, we're not friends anymore. That's it. That's it. And whoever, the reason I ask who you're watching with, they're lucky people. They're lucky people. I would love to watch a game with Kurt. That sounds like it would be fun. There would be good food there. All right, we'll keep going with your calls here in just a sec. But we want to let you hear what Brock Purdy had to say today, and here it is.
Brock, what kind of chemistry are you developing with Pearsall, and do you think he could help you guys in the red zone?
Yeah, he's done a really good job, obviously, being back and just bringing the juice, going really fast in and out of his cuts and creating some really good separation. And so, obviously, we drafted him in the first round, and he's got a lot of potential, man. And so, yeah, for him to get in and actually be a part of our offense, not just a young guy that's trying to learn his way, but actually trying to make an impact pretty like early on, man, for me. I love it, and it's another great option and another part of our offense. And so I think, obviously, you know, tomorrow we'll go through our red zone plan and stuff. But to answer your question, like, when you have a guy like Ricky that can win, you know, man-to-man matchups and then also open up some other guys too, that's always a good thing. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Last year you had a game against Philadelphia that from the outside was being perceived as this big revenge game because of, obviously, what happened in the championship game. But within the building, it seemed like you guys were pretty much focused on your business and not getting into all that, what happened the year before. Is this a similar situation to that with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I would say so. Only because, you know, a couple years ago, we played the Eagles. It was a playoff game, NFC Championship, and then whatever happened, happened. And then, boom, you got a whole new situation. You got to focus on the 2023 season. And it's similar deals last year with the Super Bowl. That was the Super Bowl. Obviously, we wanted to win it and everything. Didn't go our way. But now it's 2024, man. It's a regular season game. It's the next opponent for us. We have some new guys on our team, some guys that have left. I've said this before, but, like, you know, this is the 2024 49ers going against the 2024 Chiefs. And so, for us, we're focusing on the next team up. Are we trying to go out and get our revenge and get all this stuff? That's not our mindset. And if it was, I think we wouldn't be able to play at our best and play at our standard. Our standard is to be our best no matter who we're playing right now in the present, not looking back in the past, not looking too far ahead in the future, but where we're at right now. So that's our mindset.
You're focused on the Chiefs defense, but when you look at Patrick Mahomes, do you look at him as like an all-time great, someone you're trying to reach, or do you look at him as a peer, an equal?
I mean, I think, you know, he is who he is. I am who I am. All the quarterbacks in the NFL, I guess, would say the same thing. And so, you know, obviously for what he's done and obviously the Super Bowls that he's won and just what he's done in the NFL with his plays and his style of play, it's really fun. It's fun to watch. And, you know, but do I compare myself to him or anything like that? No, I don't compare myself to any other quarterbacks in the NFL. I am who I am, and I'm trying to win for the 49ers and play my style of ball. But obviously, I tip my cap to him, and he's done a tremendous job, man. He's definitely on the way up to being one of the greats in the NFL as a quarterback, and that's no secret. And so whenever you get a chance to go up against a guy like that on the other sideline, it's always fun. So are you good?
You mentioned the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. They're more than likely going to try to get after you and pressure you in this one. How are you trying to prepare for that? I know you can't give the details, but the best way to explain your plan of attack, knowing that that's coming this time around, how's that been for that preparation been for you this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the Super Bowl last year, they made some adjustments of going to more man coverage and making us win in those kind of matchups. And so, you know, for us, it's like, all right, obviously we got to be ready for that kind of stuff, but it's a whole new year. It's a new season, and they're going to be making their tweaks and adjustments as well. So it's not like we're going to get just that. You know, they're going to come in with their scheme and try to dial some things up against us, and so are we. And so for us, it's going in. It's being dialed in every play with whatever the situation is, and playing our standard and our way of football. If we could just do our job really well, I think everything will fall into place how it needs to, and we're a really good team if we can do that. So that's how I'm looking at it. I know all the guys in the locker room are doing the same thing, and you know, we just got to be ready for all the situations and be on top of our plays and our answers within the game.
You mentioned that you felt like a theme of the season, as far as you've seen more man coverage, and you just mentioned the Chiefs doing it more than the Super Bowl last year. Do you get the sense at all that maybe teams are kind of trying to follow some sort of, I know you didn't get it much against Minnesota and Seattle, but do you get the sense that the teams are maybe following that more, or is it maybe just more coincidental in the first six games?
I mean, I think it, you know, depends on the team and their scheme and their personnel, and if they think they can match up against, you know, our guys and man coverage and stuff or not. And every team is different, and so it just comes down to the moments, how they're coming in and what their plan of attack is from the jump, and then making adjustments. So, like, that's every game, and that'll be the case moving forward with every team that we play. So, but with that being said, I feel like we have seen some more man coverage and stuff, and honestly, I think we've done a pretty good job still of finding ways to move the ball, even though we do see more man. It's not like man coverage is our kryptonite or anything like that. I still think we got really good ball players that can create separation, and we find ways to win. And so, every team's different. I can't promise a team is going to run this because of what the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl. So every game is different.
Brock, you made your debut against Kansas City 9 or 10 plays a couple of years ago. What do you remember about that? And do you ever, when you're home relaxing, just allow your mind to go back to that moment when you did make your debut?
Yeah, you know, we sort of joke about it, actually, just because when I did get thrown into that game, you know, it was my first real regular season action, and I just remember it was pretty fast. The game was fast for me. My feet were moving really fast, and you know, I just remember seeing, like, Frank Clark and some of the guys. I'm like, man, these guys are still in the game. Like, I'm in at the end of the game, and they're still in, like, just my mind was going pretty fast. So just to see, like, how I was feeling and everything in that moment from that, like, moment a couple years ago all the way till now, it's pretty funny. But also, like, for me, I take pride in, like, learning and the growth and the process of this whole thing of playing in the NFL week to week and getting better with my fundamentals and being able to actually thrive in those kind of situations and in the moments. You know, that's progress, man. That's getting better. And so look back on it and sort of chuckle about some stuff, but yeah.
I know Brian Flores is pretty distinct in what the Vikings are doing, but how much do you think, if at all, that sort of game where there's a ton thrown at you, it's pretty unpredictable, how much do you think that helps in terms of preparing for someone like Spagnuolo?
Yeah, I think, I mean, man, those are two different schemes, that's for sure. But, you know, I think it goes back to just like the simple mindset of just being on top of your play every play, you know, like in the details and where's my answer per coverage and what's going on. You know, the Minnesota game that's such a great experience of going through every single play. Something different can happen and I have to get to this guy or that guy. And so when it comes to the Chiefs and how Spags is going to call the game, like, it's the same thing for me at quarterback. Like, I have to get to my answers. I have to go through my progressions when I can. And you know, obviously just take what the defense has given me and not trying to force it and do too much. And so two different schemes, but similar mindset in terms of I have to find my answer within every play and every coverage.
Listen, Jordan Mason got hurt last game. Did that reveal anything to you or anybody about the importance he has in this offense for what he's done through six games?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing that, you know, he's a physical runner, and obviously when the gaps and the C's part, like, that's great for any running back. But with Jordan, it's when the gap isn't there, he's still going to push for another 5-6 yards or break a couple tackles. Like, that's the mark of a great running back in the NFL, man. That's not easy. And so when he went down, it's like, man, you know, obviously we love that part of him, but we have some young guys behind him that, you know, need to step up and do their part. And I think Guerrero did that. Patrick did that. You know, they came in, they played physical, but obviously you just love JP's mentality because he does it every play, and every running back is a little different, but that's what he's really good at. And so, you know, when he went down, it's like, dang, you know, that is pretty valuable for us in the run game. And but, you know, we always have the next guy up, and we're ready to give the next guy a shot, and we always got each other's back. So it was what it was in the Thursday night game, but we're excited that, he's healed up and got some rest and ready for this one.
Steve Spagnuolo has always been extremely complimentary of your play, and this week he said that you have no weaknesses. Would you agree with his assessment of your
game? I would disagree. I think I definitely got stuff to work on and get better at. I appreciate the comments, but there's always something, in the NFL, there's always something to get better at. And as a quarterback too, man, you can never be perfect. You know, there's always something. So I appreciate it, but yeah, I got to get better too.
Brock, the numbers show that this Chiefs defense sometimes gives up points early and then gets better and better as the game goes on. Does the film show that? Is there anything on the film that they do differently as the game progresses that helps them?
Man, I think, they're just they have a lot of experience within playing within the scheme. A lot of the guys that have been there, they understand, how their coordinators call them plays and where they need to be. It's a very, sound and disciplined defense. And, I think for them, maybe, I don't know for sure, I'm not, in their meetings or anything, but it might be the bend but don't break kind of defense. And when the game matters and it's on the line, they're the side of the ball that needs to get it done. And their defense has shown that in the last couple of games and in this season. So definitely do see it. They haven't given up many points. And like I said, they all have a lot of experience together and they tie together really well just across the board. So one of the best defenses that we'll see this year for sure. Thanks, guys.
There it is from Brock Purdy, and my goodness. Yeah, when the Niners have the ball this weekend, I know there's frustration with the 49er offense, but it's clearly one of the top offenses in the NFL that's been proven for a number of years now. And the Kansas City Chiefs, it's like slow on the uptake because that's just not who we think of when we think Chiefs. You think of Mahomes and you think of Andy Reid. And you think of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, but the defense, man, that is the straw that's stirring the drink. So when the Niners have the ball this weekend, to me, that's the power-on-power matchup that I'm really looking forward to. Let's go back to the phones at 888-957-9570. Rich in Fremont is next up. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of tired of people questioning whether or not if Brock Purdy is elite. He's already been to two NFC titles, games, been in the Super Bowl. Okay, maybe he didn't get the W. But then let me ask you something. Do you think Jim Kelly shouldn't be called elite? He didn't win. He went there four times, but he didn't win. Dan Marino played in the Super Bowl here at Stanford Stadium against our Niners and lost. And they were unbeaten before that. Would you call him elite? It's like, come on. Why don't you look at it for what it really is? This kid is still growing. And look at what he's accomplished already. It's like, what else do you need to see? At the end of the day, on either side, okay, if it's going to be a psychological directional for either team, if the Chiefs win, they're just going to keep rolling. They'll be 6-0, and they're going to keep rolling in the air to send them to Super Bowl. If the Niners win, then it's going to be a situation where the psychological will get them to a point where they'll say, okay, you know what? Now we know what direction we need to go. If the Chiefs lose, then all of a sudden, now you got a psychological direction where now all of a sudden, hey, guess what? Somebody figured us out. We won a few games, but they were close. They could have went either way, and guess what? Somebody exposed us for who we really are. So to say that he's not elite, we're going to find out this weekend. And if the Niners get that win, at that point, yes. Well, I will even admit, yes.
Yeah. And Rich, to your point, and thanks for the call, I don't think we're going to find out this weekend because I think we already found out. That's just me. I think the original point you were making is you do not need to win a Super Bowl to be called elite. You brought up Jim Kelly and Dan Marino. All the NBA players' names that we've brought up today, and even the players we're talking about now, are you literally going to go out in the street and say that Lamar Jackson's not an elite player in this league? The two-time MVP? Come on. He's an incredibly elite player. Dylan in Menlo Park next up. Hi, Dylan, real quick, what's going on?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Really enjoying the conversation about Brock and his first 25 games with the Niners and his stats. And I was wondering if you could compare those stats to Jimmy's first 25 games with the Niners and that might remove some of the questions about how much of it is related to the system, the Shanahan system.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you would need to give me a just a little bit, and I can come up with those numbers. And I do think, like, Dylan, thank you. Jimmy is relevant in this conversation simply because of the way we look at things. Like, I don't think that these two, by any stretch, are... I don't think that there's a whole lot that's similar to them other than that they've worn the same uniform and they were under the same coach. But for a lot of people, the way Jimmy's career arc has gone and what he was able to accomplish under Kyle, go to a Super Bowl, lose, have one of the top 10 career quarterback ratings, all of those things, that's still in the backs of people's minds when they assess Brock Purdy. Jimmy Garoppolo is a net negative for the Brock Purdy conversation. So from that perspective, I think it's totally fair to bring him up. All right. So everything we just heard Brock say, there was one, maybe two, but really one thing that we need to circle back to with regard to comparing himself to Patrick Mahomes. We'll let you hear that coming up next as we continue on Willard and Dips.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, not telling you something.
Why sing?
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Now, first of all, I am a big fan of transparency. Grandy, you know that. Second of all, like hell I'm going to sit here and get accused of talk blocking Dibs at such a level for the next 10 minutes that you literally do not hear the sound of his voice. I'm not taking that criticism. I won't do it. Can't do it. Dibs left. He's fine. He's fine. He got somewhere to be.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and apparently that's more important than here. And so he gone. But
let's go to Dibs, half in the bag.
Yeah, Grandy's here. Ken would talk, but he can't because he's sick to his stomach because the Mets are about to play baseball. Or are they already playing? What's going on?
1-1 in the third.
Okay.
I can't believe you didn't see this. Otani hit a leadoff home run.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Bad Thursday night football is on.
Mm.
And America will watch football over anything else, period. I don't care that the MLB postseason games, two of them are tied right now. I don't care.
This might be the first time I have ever not watched Thursday Night Football in favor of a couple of different baseball games.
And your favorite non-49er is literally playing right now.
Favorite non-49er?
Hey, come on.
One of them. Go Bo.
Nix.
Uh-huh. Bronco Bo.
Go Nix, who, by the way, you know that I hate biting off of this forbidden fruit, but I have to because I understand the game and the national media, and they know how to get you to react. And my friend Colin Cowherd, he knows how to get you to react. So when he did his whole list last week and went through all the quarterbacks that he'd rather have than Brock Purdy, and Bo Nix was one of them because he's, quote, more accurate. If that's a thing, you need an Amazon Prime subscription. I get you an Amazon Prime subscription, and I want you to watch Bo Nix's, quote, accuracy. so far in this game tonight.
The best part of what you're talking about, Cowherd's argument, was he used Bo Nix's college statistics to prove it.
He was a more accurate college passer.
Thanks.
What are we doing?
Playing against Washington State on Saturdays.
What are we doing? Is Ryan Leaf the greatest player of all time, apparently? What's happening? But I don't want to bite off the forbidden fruit because I know the game. I get the game. I know how the game is played. So I'm not going to get verklempt or upset or mad about all this. Who cares? There is a funny play. Did you see the Bo Nix play, Grandy? Did you see the one?
No, I have not watched a second of this game, and I'm very happy about it.
There's a play. I think the Broncos are up 3-0 or 2-1 or something like that. Anyway, whatever it is.
2-1.
Yeah, that's what this game deserves. It's 2-1. Somebody got a safety. Someone else got an extra point. Now it's halftime. Whatever. Bo Nix drops back. He steps up in the pocket. He looks left. There are literally, and we could have a conversation with the Saints defensive coordinator for a second. He's got his pick of two receivers who have the left side of the field to themselves. One is 20 yards away. The other one is 30 yards away. So, Bo, you already know what he did.
Right,
what did he decide to do? He threw it 25 yards.
Yeah.
He's like, let me see. It was almost like he did like a little game of Jenga or something. He's like, let me see if I could get right over the head of one of them, but landed in front of the other. And he did it.
I don't know what you call that. I call that pinpoint accuracy.
Accuracy. Exactly. Exactly right. All right. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And while you're there, be sure to check out, guess who the morning roast had on? Yeah, one of our favorites, Herm Edwards. I don't know if he hung up on Jaden Daniels to talk to him like he did with us.
You play to win the game.
Yes, and you listen to hear Herm because he's fantastic. So he was on with the roast, and you subscribe to all the shows, Steiny and Goo, Morning Roast, Willard and Dibs. That's how it works. Take a listen to this. Here's Brock Purdy on if he looks up to Patrick Mahomes.
He is who he is. I am who I am. All the quarterbacks in the NFL, I guess, would say the same thing. And so, you know, obviously for what he's done and obviously the Super Bowls that he's won and just what he's done in the NFL with his plays and his style of play, it's really fun. It's fun to watch. And, you know, but do I compare myself to him or anything like that? No, I don't compare myself to any other quarterbacks in the NFL. I am who I am, and I'm trying to win for the 49ers and play my style of ball. But obviously, I tip my cap to him, and he's done a tremendous job, man. He's definitely on the way up to being one of the greats in the NFL as a quarterback, and that's no secret. And so whenever you get a chance to go up against a guy like that on the other sideline, it's always fun.
I tell you what, Brock Purdy's answers have a very, very distinct sound to them, and I'll go ahead and use the B word, not that B word. I'll use the B word because I think in this particular case, it's a good thing. Granny, I don't know if you agree with this, but Brock's answers are boring. They're good. They show leadership. They are what you want them to be, but they're boring. And so were Tom Brady's. And kind of so were, if what I remember, I was kind of a kid, but like so were Joe Montana's. To a degree. I'm thinking of the great quarterbacks in the history of this league and trying to think, like, who was a salacious quote? And the first name that comes to mind, I guess, would be Brett Favre. Maybe that's just because I was at the Madden complex yesterday. Brett Favre. So, like, maybe that's it. And I don't even know if he was, like, a salacious quote, but Brett has turned into a bit of a, I guess, a bit of a controversial figure, and he turned himself into someone who always had just that buzz that kind of follows him around. And he was great, and nothing will change that, and he won a Super Bowl, but I'll also argue it flamed out, and it flamed out, and it sent him to different teams early, and there was hurt feelings and relationships that went awry and all of that stuff. So we don't talk about this as much, and I know why, because it's not exciting. But I think that you kind of want that in your quarterback press conferences.
Well, listening to Brock Purdy during his presser today, about 10 minutes long, the thought I had, you guys just spent the last like hour, you and Dibs, talking about how on the field, Brock Purdy's play has been pretty darn elite.
He's elite.
He looks like an elite quarterback, and I was having the same thought you were. He also sounds like an elite quarterback. Because he just gives you the quarterback, coach speak, boring, vanilla answer, which, again, maybe doesn't make him the most guy you tune into for the press conference, but he sounds like Drew Brees sounded like during his career.
We could play a game next week if you want. I'm not even kidding. You cut up this Brock Purdy press conference before they play the Dallas Cowboys, cut the question, and before you give us the answer, let us tell you what the answer is going to be, because I already know. I do. Seriously. You all do. When he was asked, hey, Steve Spagnuolo says you don't have any weaknesses, how do you think Brock Purdy answered that? You're right.
I would disagree. I think I definitely got stuff to work on and get better at. I appreciate the comments, but there's always something. And like in the NFL, there's always something to get better at. And you know, as a quarterback too, man, you can never be perfect. You know, there's always something. So I appreciate it, but I got to get better too.
I mean, it is the most predictable, wonderful thing ever. You knew damn well he'd be like, that is an honor. That's really nice of him to say it. I don't look at it that way because I am always trying to get better. And I certainly see when I watch the film, I see things that I'd like to do better. So I'm always getting better and I'm getting better and I'm getting better. So no. There are weaknesses in my game.
Can you imagine if he just came out and said, oh, Spags, I agree. Thanks.
That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. But it didn't go down that way. What are you doing in 5 minutes? What's going to happen on this radio station?
You mentioned Herm Edwards. He was on with Bonte and Chatsky. You best. Will not be hearing that. But they also had Patrick Peterson on. If you do want to hear Herm, head to the Free Odyssey app. Figure it out. It's on YouTube.
That
wherever
was
you want
awesome. No, that was
also good. Patrick Peterson.
You wouldn't believe what happened on Steiny and Goo today, and you're going to have to continue not believing it because we're not going
to
tell you.
I just had so many good things to choose from.
Okay.
We're going to hear from Patrick Peterson. We're going to hear from Steiny and Goo.
Yep.
They reacted to Patrick Peterson calling this game for the Niners a must-win. Dibs, I hope you're not listening. And then also you guys and your conversation with Greg Cosell. So all that's coming up.
Greg was great. Dibs was great on Greg. So great that we let him go early. That's what's coming up on the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Dibs, do you want to do it again tomorrow? Sure do. All right, great. For Dibs, for Grandy, and for Ken, definitely not for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.